Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
If the 2020 NFL playoffs were to start today, the Bears would be out. They're eighth right now. Even though they started 5-1, the three-game losing streak has dropped them to eighth in the NFC. Packers won yesterday. Lions held on and won for the first time at home in a year, Yurko. They had a seven-game home losing streak. They still couldn't cover, though, because they're the Lions, obviously. Even though they had that big lead. It was one of my winners this weekend, Washington plus the 3.5. I think that line actually went down to about 2.5 when it closed. So
a lot of movement in the over-under numbers from the beginning of the week to late in the week.
Yeah, and the Bears line has moved a lot, and I got it at 3 yesterday, and it's 3.5. Now I feel silly. I would have liked that chair. I would have liked that hook tonight, Yurko.
You double down then tonight with the hook?
No. I don't think I will. I'll keep it at this. If it's 3 and I push, that's fine. So be it. I'll leave it at 3. But the Bears are an intra-division home dog on Monday Night Football tonight against the Vikings. Then they roll into their bye. After that, they will be playing the Green Bay Packers, who struggled to put away the Jags yesterday, but got the job done. As Yurko pointed out last hour, even the great Aaron Rodgers sometimes looks human, and he had a terrible interception. But still, on the year, Aaron Rodgers has got to be there in the conversation for MVP. I mean, another bad turnover and a loss by Russell Wilson and the Seahawks yesterday. It's probably Mahomes's to lose right now in the second half of the season, but Aaron Rodgers has 26 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, and he's got the best quarterback rating in the league, Yurk, at 116.4. But yeah, he had a bad turnover yesterday. They still got the job done. I'm more convinced on the Packers this year than I was last year. At least this year, they're outgaining their opponents. They've got the 5th best yards margin in the NFL, actually, so far this year. So
I think we could say the NFC is wide open.
I think it's wide open.
The National Football Conference, any of the 7 teams that qualify for the playoffs have a chance to go ahead and advancing into the Super Bowl. The AFC, I think, is a lot tougher.
I think it is. I think Pittsburgh's pretty legit. I think Kansas City might be the best team in the AFC. Mm-hmm. Baltimore could still figure some things out. I think you are 100% right. And even though a week ago, like if we would have come in here a week ago today and talked about Tampa Bay, you would have said after the performance they had on Sunday Night Football a couple of weeks ago, maybe they just can't figure out the Saints. And they're hoping that somehow they avoid the Saints through the NFC. Because when it's anybody but the Saints, and they caught the Bears caught them at a good time. So I don't even need to reference the Bears game on Thursday night. They were beat half to hell playing on the short week. But against everybody else but the Saints, that team has flexed some muscle, some serious muscle. Tom Brady against the Saints is 0-2. He's got 2 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. Against everybody else, Tom Brady's 7-1 with 21 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And I love to look at yards margins because I think it's a good indicator of how good a team actually is in the big data sample. They've got the 4th best points margin in the NFL, the 3rd best yards margin, and the 5th best turnover margin. I think Tampa's pretty legit, actually. You wouldn't have said that a week ago, Yurk. But to your point, it's as wide open as anything in the NFC. And if they don't run into the Saints somehow, they could be the last team standing in the NFC when it's all said and done.
Right. In the AFC, I think Pittsburgh and Kansas City has separated itself. And the other teams are pretty damn solid also. I mean, you've got some really solid teams in there.
You think is Indy legit?
I think before I get to an NFC team, I'm listing 3 or 4, maybe 5 AFC teams. Before I get to Tampa Bay or Green Bay in my in the power rankings,
you definitely list KC. You definitely list Pittsburgh.
I'd have Pittsburgh 1. I'd have Kansas City 2.
What about Baltimore?
I'd go probably.
The Bills, Yurk?
Yeah, but I'd say Buffalo or Baltimore. You know, even the Titans are tough. The Raiders I would put down to about 9th or 10th.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm crazy.
In with some NFC teams.
I don't think I'm crazy about the Titans.
Yeah, but guess what they're doing here? John Gruden in what, year 3?
No, I'm talking about the Titans. I don't trust that defense. I almost believe in the Raiders more than I believe in the Titans.
Right. Yeah, I get you. I just think the quality's in the AFC, and I think it's wide open in the NFC, and I don't know how much quality is there. That's what I'm telling you. I think that this is an AFC Super Bowl this year. Pounding the NFC, whoever ends up getting sent there. If it's Pittsburgh or if it's Arizona, I mean, Pittsburgh or Kansas City, I think they pound whoever the NFC sends there.
Let's go to RJ in Milwaukee on ESPN 1000. Hello, RJ.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
Thought I would just call in and tell you guys what I'm expecting from Bill Lazor tonight. Obviously, I love the Iron Chef reference. It's same ingredients, but I'm hoping that we put it together a little bit better. And by that, I mean that we're going to have better execution down by down. We're not going to be running third and one with Cordell Patterson. We're going to be actually scheming with personnel properly and hoping that that actually opens up the offense with runs to the outside, especially with Ngakoue not in Minnesota anymore. And we don't need as much push on the outside, so hopefully we can get that going. And last point I want to make is I think D. Jackson finally brings it home with that pick six tonight.
All right, let's hope so. RJ, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. Yeah, will there be more creativity? Will there be more balance? Will there be... You know, will we see something to set up something else, like Yerk always says, later in the game? That's something that Matt Nagy has not done well, let's face it. There's no creativity.
The defensive secondary has been close to making plays for this team.
Well, yeah,
they've been close
Fuller,
all year.
Right? You had Gibson a couple weeks ago on the Monday Nighter, Yerk. You had Fuller last week.
You've had him spiking balls into the ground instead of catching balls. You've had interception return for touchdown call back because of penalties. They've been close, guys. They've been close. Let's hope they can capitalize on Kirk Cousins tonight.
0-9 in his Monday night career.
That's what he has. Keep reminding him.
0-9.
Let's just keep reminding him. I'm hoping he's listening in right now, staying at the Westin Hotel, right across from the Hancock Building. Let's just hope. If that place is open, I don't even know it's open.
I think so.
It might open up in 2025.
Tom's in Wausau on ESPN 1000. What up, Tom?
Yerko. First of all, good question, boys, on the sour cream.
In the chili?
Two, I'm so disappointed. You played in Green Bay. You have your chili. Then you have a side of your onions, chopped yellow or white. Then you have your sour cream, and then you have your cheese, and you put it all on top in that order.
That's a big thing up in Wisconsin?
Guys, I went to Kroll's right across the street from Lambeau Field. They had spaghetti in the chili, guys.
Oh, that's like a Cincinnati thing.
That's a Cincinnati thing.
Yeah, it is, but at Kroll's right across the street, and there's one on 18th in Michigan, and they serve the chili the same way there, guys.
Tommy, thanks, buddy. Tommy says that's a Wisconsin thing. I don't know.
No, but I understand what he's saying. I don't remember it. I don't remember ordering chili in any time ever in the history of my lifetime having a sour cream as an accoutrement.
Yerko was stunned last night when
I was stunned last night.
I said, oh, no, it's a thing. Yeah, I don't like it, but it's a thing. Waddle could tell you all about Cincinnati chili. It's like they got a whole thing there, like the chili five ways. You know, you get it with onions or the macaroni and the sour cream and the cheese. I don't know. They got all kinds of goofy things there. I don't need spaghetti in my chili, you know. I guess it's like a bolognese.
You're Italian, Carm. You're Italian.
Right, I'll have a real bolognese. You know, I don't need
a You're
going to
have it with gravy, man. You're going to have yours with gravy, dude.
To quote Cap, hard pass.
Hard pass. Now, downtown Vegas is not a hard pass, but spaghetti in my chili, that's probably a hard pass.
Is the Golden Nugget downtown?
The Nugget is downtown,
I believe it's downtown. I've been to the Golden Nugget. I've gambled downtown before. That's before they put
downtown.
That thing over the street, that canopy.
What thing, Yerk?
They got a canopy over the street now, right? Downtown?
I don't even know. I haven't been downtown.
Oh, yeah, they got a light show in there. They got everything. It's like going from the B terminal to the C terminal at O'Hare.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they got a light show. They got the whole ball of wax. They got to find a way to entertain downtown.
I guess they do. I know everybody stays on the strip. I mostly stay on the strip, too. Let's see here. Oh, I like Jeff in Portage. Hey, Jeff, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, happy Bears game day, fellas.
Bears
how you doing?
Game day. We're doing well. How are you, buddy?
Good. You know, actually, before the chili talk here real quick, you had me thinking, Carm, does Murray walk his way into the MVP conversation after the Hail Murray last night? I have an open ticket.
It's
30-1, so way, it's like, you know, but, yeah, you know.
Hey, listen, the way he's scoring touchdowns right now, that team to me is still kind of like every week, you know, as good as they should be. Look, they had chances to put Buffalo away yesterday. They had a three-point lead. They got the ball back a couple of times, including once after a turnover. They did nothing with it on offense.
Right.
Nothing. It's like they had chances to put away. Everything is still kind of – maybe it's just a young team, young coach and all that, and Murray's still learning. But they still really struggle to put teams away. But, I mean, it could be. But I think right now you're looking at Mahomes, you're looking at Rodgers, maybe even Big Ben. The kind of bounce back year he's had.
Well, his offensive stats, though, are not.
They're not
fantastic.
Like the other guys. It's true.
Yeah. It's comeback player of the year, maybe.
Yeah.
But his offensive stats, and have they reserved that for Alex Smith, the comeback player of the year?
Good question.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. Very good. So, Chili, my brother in law and nieces hunt quite a bit, so we put some venison in it. My wife found this recipe from Zach Brown Band.
Ooh.
Outstanding. But that aside, her family has a tradition of making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and dipping it into the chili.
That's disgusting.
You know, you marry into the family.
That can't be good.
I didn't even try it.
That can't be good.
It's not. Oh. But, you know, they live and die by it. They will not eat chili without a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And we don't have it as much just because of that fact, I think. But, you know, with venison, it tastes great.
Venison.
I can't get out of my... It's not a mixture that ever needs to be made, anyway.
Venison chili is phenomenal. Jeff, thanks for calling. Venison is great, but, man, peanut butter and jelly with chili. I mean, I thought I've heard of some strange things. That's beyond belief.
By the way, I've got to send a shout-out to my guy, Wayne Lulinski, who he and his family, they've got three deer this weekend.
This is deer season, right?
It's deer season, kid. Yeah. One buck and two does, and my man Jimmy Janis out in Plymouth. Got himself a nice 8-pointer. Congratulations out there for a nice 8-pointer. I get these, what are they when they send it to you?
Pictures?
On the Twitter.
Tweets?
They'll send it to me, and they'll send me these things, and they say, hey, you're going to, if you fell a doe or a buck, send them to me, man. I'll give you a shout out on the air. It is deer season.
It is deer season.
And remember, sharks don't kill people more than deer do. Because of car accidents. We've got to call the herd. We got to manage it. Okay? And a lot of people enjoy venison because you know why?
It's delicious.
You know why? It's delicious.
Yeah, it is, man.
Absolutely.
Like venison steaks are...
This is Breaking News.
Breaking News.
Powered by PointsBet Sportsbook. On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Boy, I'm still stuck on poor Jeff and Portage having to eat peanut butter and jelly because his wife
chili.
With chili. But what's the breaking news, Merck?
All right, gents. This is
NFL?
No, this is college basketball.
College hoops?
Oh, yes, CBD. The entire 2021 NCAA men's basketball tournament will be played at a single site.
Mm.
Preliminary talks with Indianapolis.
This is a good idea, ladies and gentlemen.
I just don't know how they're going to start the season, but the tournament will be great.
Rick Pitino come out and say they should push? Did I see this? That they should push the season back?
I didn't see.
Is Rick Pitino coaching in college basketball?
Yes. Where is he at now?
He's at some he's back, right?
Is he at Hofstra? Where is he at?
He's not at Louisville. How about that?
No, he's not.
Wherever he's at, all I know is Larry Bird's not walking through that door.
Rick Pitino, I think I saw something like on the crawl. This is old school. I was watching a college football game this weekend, and I thought it said something to the effect that he was saying that they're crazy to think they can start the season right now, and that to save the season, they should be pushing it back. They are smart, if you ask me, to be thinking about a bubble. It's the only way to do this.
You are right, Carm. He did say that, and he's coaching Iona right now.
He's coaching Iona. That's right. I did know that. Now that you said it, he's coaching the Gales, right, of Iona?
So Randy asked, how does one start a season? You set a date and a schedule, and then you begin. That's how you start a season. Because that was the question he asked. How do you start a season?
I think they're going to run into some serious issues.
That's the process.
Like, I think I can't believe I'm about to say this. Rick Pitino could be right.
Are there challenges to starting a season? Sure.
Yeah.
The same way there have been challenges for starting every season. Absolutely.
But it's good that they're already making the plans for a single site. You got to do it. I'm sorry.
They can't lose the revenue again.
That's right. They can't.
I don't think the NCAA could survive if they lost another.
No. And so they're going to have to bubble it up and do it all one place. And Indy makes a lot of sense. You're centrally located and they could probably pull it off. They've got the infrastructure to be able to pull it off. All right, we will continue to discuss. We're breaking down Bears and Vikings, getting ready for the Monday Nighter tonight. It is a Bears game day Monday. Yurko's smoking hot keys to victory are coming up next.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
The boss man on a Bears game day Monday. Well, we got a full day for you. Carmen and Yurko. Yurko's keys in a second. Greeny's up at noon. Waddle and Sylvie, they'll pregame with you 2 to 6. Black and Abdallah will do the same thing. We got pregame tonight. Postgame with Meller and Howard Griffith. Don't miss that. As soon as the game is over, sometime around 10:15 tonight, right back here on ESPN 1000 for the postgame show. So it's going to be a loaded day, Bears and Vikings, as the Bears roll into their bye after this. It is that magical time as we are here, Bears in Week 10, and it's time for Yurko's Keys to the Game. Oh, hold on.
Hold on there, Carm.
The computer's frozen.
Unprepared. I was listening to your beautiful promo of the post-game show coming up tonight, so I got caught off guard. I apologize.
Blind.
This is Yurko's Keys to the Game.
Trubisky stepping up, fires down the sideline. Robinson makes the catch.
Yurko gives us what to watch for in this week's Bears game.
And it's intercepted, and it's Eddie Jackson.
Under pressure again. Can he get away? No, he can't. Of course it's Mac.
Yurko's Keys to the Game, only on ESPN 1000.
All right, Yurko, the beloved are reeling. Three straight losses. They're on the outside looking in right now in the playoff picture in the NFC. That is as if they stay with the seven teams per conference. They're eighth right now in the NFC. Need a win tonight. Yurko, I ask you, what are the keys to victory?
Carm, I'm glad you asked. And what can only be described as a grotesque display of offensive inactivity, inequality, inability. It's going to be a taffy pull tonight. And what does one want to do during a taffy pull? They want to be able to control the ball. I need the Bears to be able to control the ball tonight. Be able to sustain drives without making multiple mistakes is what they've been a pattern of the last 3 weeks. They find a way to shoot themselves in the foot every single week. I want that eliminated. I want that gone. I want them to be able to control the clock, be able to hold on to the football, keep it away from the Minnesota Vikings running game. That's what I feel is important. Key number two. Got to stop the run. If I'm going to have a guy beat me today, Dalvin Cook is not going to be the guy that beats me. I'm going to make the other guy beat me today. Cousins. If he can do whatever he needs to do to complete as many balls as he needs to do to drive down the field and look like a competent NFL quarterback, then that's the way the Minnesota Vikings are going to do it. I do not want Dalvin Cook to beat me. Get after him. Stop the run. Put the ball in his hands. Hopefully you'll have a 3-0 lead, and they'll feel like it's insurmountable, and they'll give up on the run, and they'll have to pass the ball. That's what I'm hoping for. Key number three. Take it to the house. Take it to the house is key number three. I need the defensive secondary to step up to the mic and get something done. Yeah, they played good at times. They've been around the football. They've had multiple chances to make plays this year, but they haven't quite done it. You know, almost no good. Almost is not good. What's good is getting it done and taking it to the end zone. Taking it to the house. Do what other teams like to do. Get together in front of the camera in the end zone, in the television there, and all get together and pose and do whatever you want to do and make yourselves happy. Don't you want to be happy? Why wouldn't you want to be happy? Get over there and get happy and take it to the house. Key number four. Carm, it's always difficult here to come up with original thoughts here when it comes to the Chicago Bears and what they will and what they won't do. But thank heavens, Laser is now making the calls. The
Laser Show.
What I want to do is bend a knee, clasp my hands together, and look up to the sweet Lord up above.
What is this, Game
and
of Thrones?
All I ask him is to bestow the knowledge. And I want this done in the city of Chicago right now. If you're in your car, pull along to the side. Give you time. Hit a knee. Put your hands together, clasp. Bow your head and pray for the sweet Lord to put some offensive wisdom into the mind of the Bill.
Sweet Lord, baby Jesus.
Put some wisdom, put some offensive plays, get a wham call in there, maybe a little trap, a power O, a G play, especially on the goal line if the Bears can finally get there. Make Nick Foles, pray that Nick Foles will be better than he actually is. Pray that the wide receivers will come down with the football and they won't drop the football and they won't tip it up in the air causing problems. Okay? So let's pray for all of that for the Chicago Bears and for victory. And those are the keys to a Bears victory against the Minnesota Vikings tonight at Soldier Field.
There you go.
And I've never, Carm, gone with the prayer thing.
No, I don't think I've ever heard you say that.
It's
as
the
a
first
key.
Time I've asked people to take a knee and bow their heads and ask for help from the big guy up above. He's got bigger problems. He's got a lot of things that he's looking over, you know.
Bigger fish to fry.
The Morgan Freeman of the sky, I like to call him.
Right.
The Morgan Freeman of the sky. Good old George Burns up there.
George Burns.
I know there's a lot of issues going on, but let's just,
that's
you know,
reference.
Let's just smile. Well, I'm doing it for everybody,
that's
Carmen.
Good,
not just
coming.
For the young kids. I'm doing it for everybody. Let's just smile down upon the Chicago Bears just for one night. One night, just smile upon the Bears and let good things happen for the offense because they are pitiful.
Well, I'd love to see this offense get on track. You're right, Derek. I don't know how it's possible. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll surprise us. Maybe Laser makes a difference. Maybe they protect the quarterback better. That seems like the longest shot on the board, unfortunately, because of the people they have in there and the people that they're relying upon. You know, Yerk talks about the defense needing to score, and it almost feels like
I need it.
It almost feels like if the defense isn't pretty close to perfect with turnovers, setting the offense up with short fields, or just doing the scoring themselves, that it is going to be hard for this team to win. I mean, it's just it's a laborious affair with this offense. And it's kind of unfortunate that we even give the defense any grief. We talk about, well, you know, they're not good enough, or they've been good but not good enough. They're still top 10 in rushing defense. They're fourth in defensive DVOA. They're seventh in points per game. They're first in third down defense. They're first in red zone defense.
They get grief,
I mean, they're
though,
good enough, man.
Game.
But
the grief they get for in one game is the game against the Rams.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you.
The game against the Rams is where I'm going to give them a little bit of grief.
They had
That's
a bad
where they
game.
Deserve to get some grief. Yeah. Yeah. Thought we scored enough points to win a game, and unfortunately for us, our defense didn't step up that day. Sad, but that's the one game I'm going to give them a little bit of grief on. But tonight, there's a chance. You know, every week is a new chance to go ahead and make things right.
The Saints,
so let's make things right this week.
The Saints game, I'd say more than anything. I don't think they played a particularly great game against the Rams either, but the Saints game where they scored, the offense finally scored over 20 points, and that's the one maybe you point
to. Is that the 26-23 game?
That was the Saints game, Yerk. Yeah.
26-23.
That was the Saints
game. The Rams game was 24 what?
24-10.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, Eddie
that
Jackson
was the last Monday
game.
Night game.
Yeah, I'm not blaming them on that one, but they still kind of could have stepped up. That's the one where I lost the sixth grade. I remember.
The Saints game more than anything.
Yeah, I had the 4 and the 3. I remember. And then
Robert
Woods
right.
decided to lay the ball on the grass.
That was a killer. You're going.
Yeah. Yeah, and numbers for tonight's game, it's at 12K now.
Yeah, what do you got?
The numbers for tonight's game, no good.
No good?
The opposite team, 9, Bears 8. That's what I have. 9-8. And I'm trying to think of possibilities on how this is going to happen.
Okay, hold on. Well, look.
The Bears get 6 field goals, and the other team only kicks 3.
I was going to say, you know, like, that could happen, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, listen, anything could happen, Carm. I want to pull one time at the end of the year a similar pull with 1-9.
Maybe
and the team went for 2.
Maybe they get him on the goal
line. To tie
line.
And they didn't get it, and it was 1-9, and I ended up the victor.
Maybe they get him on the goal line, and Cousins makes a mistake. They get a safety, and, you know, all of a sudden you're looking at a touchdown, a couple of field goals, and a safety, Yerk, you know, something like that. I guess you need three
touchdowns.
Listen,
it doesn't matter how.
3 field
just
goals.
Just get it done, and if it doesn't get done this week, go ahead and let it roll over until next week.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Well, where there's
That's
a will, there's
I'm
a way,
for.
Kid.
Yeah.
Let's say hi to Marcus in Minneapolis. What's up, Mark? Oh, did I hit the wrong button? Marcus, you there, buddy? There you are. What's up, man?
Hey, I was going to say, I don't
Mark, wait a minute, Marcus, hold on. Take us off speaker. Are you on speaker?
1 second.
Well, Marcus is probably working. He's productive.
Well, Marcus, is a veteran, Marcus is a veteran phone caller. He knows he can't be on speaker.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's my fault. So I was, I don't remember your take on this, but I keep hearing a lot of people bashing Cordarrelle Patterson, like the usage of Cordarrelle Patterson. I get sometimes Nagy calls like bad running plays, or his timing on running plays is bad, or he just doesn't run it at all. But I think we started to overstate the value of Cordarrelle Patterson. Like if you looked at him in New England, they used him well.
They did.
He was good as a running back, but we just don't have the offensive line. I don't think it matters who's running. It's the line. Like it you can't go past the line. Flirts with a terrible line. It doesn't matter if you put Barry Sanders. Well, maybe Barry Sanders, but anybody other than Barry Sanders, it doesn't matter who you put behind that line. It's not going to work.
I think that was the best the team's ever used him, Marcus, and I think that speaks to what they do in New England probably more than anything else. He had Tom Brady. He had Josh McDaniels. He had Bill Belichick. And when the Bears signed him, I think we all kind of looked at it and said, hey, it's a good signing because he was so versatile for New England the year before.
And you only signed him for $5 million.
Yeah.
You know, so you signed him for $5 million. You were hoping in any use you could get out of him. You knew he couldn't play receiver. So whatever you could do besides a return man would be a bonus. He'd be a plus. Still trying to understand why he can't return punts. If he's that good on kickoff returns, why doesn't he return punts? That's a mystery to me. I don't know. Maybe he just can't do it.
You know, he scored in that one year in New England, Yurko. He played 15 games that year with the Patriots. Remember, he had a good game against the Bears when they came here and
yes,
they beat
did.
The Bears. He scored 4 touchdowns that year, you know? You know how many he scored with the Bears? 0 in 2 years.
He's had a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Well, I'm talking about rushing, receiving touchdowns.
Offensive
touchdowns, excuse me. He had even more than that in New England because I think he had 2 return touchdowns. He probably had 6 total touchdowns in New England because I want to say he had at least 2 return touchdowns that year.
Well, he had one against the Bears.
We had one against the Bears, and I thought he had one more. I'll double check. I meant just offensive touchdowns. He scored 4 times. They got him the ball in clever, creative ways. He hasn't scored a touchdown with the Bears. And on special teams, he has. So, in fairness, you're right about that. But he doesn't have a touchdown in this offense, and they've tried to feed him a lot this year in 9 games. 312-332-3776. That's the number. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Packers just punted. Haven't forgotten about that earlier. Nor will we forget that there are 6 early games today. All because the Masters.
Effort from Evans.
I'm not going to say who won because a couple of years ago I revealed who had won the Ryder Cup an hour after it ended and people lost their collective minds. Because evidently some of you watched taped golf.
Our buddy Andrew Siciliano on NFL. What do they call that one on the NFL Network? Because I don't like that's
it's
the Direct
still,
TV
it,
one.
It's still called the Red Zone. Yeah,
okay.
It's not an NFL Network. It's
a Direct TV.
Direct
thing.
TV. Yeah, if you have the NFL ticket on Direct TV, Carm.
Yeah. See, I've had Comcast.
To answer Andrew Siciliano, I do watch tape golf there, champ. So,
I love Siciliano because evidently some of you watch tape golf. You got to admit though, Merk, it's in an increasing on-demand world. It is hard to not know what happens in these events.
True.
Right? I mean, it's
true.
Almost impossible. You get alerts on your phone, you know, things like that.
You know what else amused me is that as he was bouncing around, it might have been 20 minutes later, maybe a half an hour later, one of the announcers on the CBS broadcast started talking about Dustin Johnson winning the Masters.
Yeah, right. So. See, there you go. That's it. It's impossible. I was happy to watch the Masters this weekend a lot. Saw a lot of the action on Saturday, a bunch of it yesterday morning before the football started. Not too much drama, unfortunately, because DJ just kind of ran away with it. And if it was going to get interesting, he put any questions to bed with the tee shot and the birdie on 6, right? I mean, for a second there, it looked like, oh, maybe here we go. But the shot he hit on the par 3, I said shot, on the par 3 sixth, and then the birdie there, that was a big swing. And I think that's the hole that M then missed his par putt. And so it was a big swing. And, boy, DJ was great. I mean, he dominated York in just about every category, right? Like, you know.
He was phenomenal.
Greens and reg, and I mean, everything.
Who's the kid that finished second?
That's Cameron Smith.
Yeah, he was the leader in putting, overall putting.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dustin Johnson was pretty darn good, period. Yeah.
Really impressive.
And when he didn't have his cut, there's another guy who loves to play the power fade. Who doesn't?
That's right.
When he loses his cut, it's when he'd get in trouble. Because he'd aim at a spot and then the ball would fade back over. So when he ended up trapping the ball a little bit, doing a little double cross, that's the only time he'd ever find himself in trouble. And he's pretty darn good at getting himself back out of trouble. So
is his
good for him. He dominated.
Is his A game better than anybody else's right now, Yurk, when he's on?
It seems to be.
Yeah, kind of does.
You know,
right?
a guy has to really, like, have a phenomenal weekend. If he's got his A game, somebody's got to be overly phenomenal to be able to go ahead and just kind of overtake him.
Yeah.
But he could be a very dominant player. Very dominant player. The whole Bryson DeChambeau thing kind of cracked me up this weekend. He's so busy worrying about, you know, dominating the course and overpowering the course that I don't know if the conditions allowed it with all the rain that they had the night before on Wednesday.
Right.
I don't know if the conditions were going to allow it or the rain that delayed it on Thursday morning. You might have had to go on with a different philosophy at that point. And ultimately, it victimized him. I forget what hole it was that he couldn't find his ball.
That was on 13, wasn't it?
Was it? I think it was the second hole, Carm.
I think your key, he lost it on 13 and the second. Different rounds.
Yeah, different rounds.
Yeah. Different
okay.
rounds, yeah. Well, either way, the double bogey 7 kind of killed him on one of those days and just kind of sidetracked him the whole way. Could have been Friday's round that went into Saturday morning. sometimes you got to adjust to what the course is going to give you. And in this case, the course wasn't going to get you where you could fly the trees, hit in the rough, and skip through and get into the fairway. That wasn't going to allow it on that particular day. So maybe you adjust on this particular day not to be quite as brave as you wanted to be. And I think that's just a lesson for him as he moves along, that you've got to take what the course is willing to give you some days, and some days it's just not going to give you what you want. So adjust and go a different direction.
This is like his new thing. He's Matt Nagy. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do what I do, and you know, the hell with it.
Which is okay. I would have loved to have seen it. I would have loved to have seen him destroy it. I just think with the rains that fell on Thursday morning, you had to adjust your game plan as you moved forward. You know, just the cutting of the corners. Yep. There weren't 1,000 people there to see where your ball landed to help you out and let you know exactly where you were and what you needed.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the same. And, you know, at some point you've got to adjust. You've got to adjust. His length is obviously an advantage for him.
And then Tiger on 12, that looked like us on 12. We would have, you know, we would have made 10.
Oh, yeah.
On number 12. Oh, yeah. Yurko's brother birdied 12.
The only time he ever played 12, he birdied it. Put it on the green, made the putt, and then his buddy that played center next to him at Notre Dame, Gene McGuire.
Yep.
Topped him with another birdie, and he didn't even win a skin on him.
Unbelievable. But what
he's
a feeling.
He's got the scorecard in his basement, pictures from that day.
So
he was
great.
A guest of the great Lou Holtz on that specific outing.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, you'd love to be able to get to that hole and take a birdie. Tiger with a 10, and I think that's the only 10 he's ever posted in a competitive round.
Did you hear
on the PGA Tour? But then he responded with like 5 birdies down the stretch. It was incredible. So at least he didn't wave the white flag. Still pretty amazing. Did I hear what, Merck?
Did you hear after the round on Friday, they asked John Rahm, because when Bryson lost a bunch of his golf balls, they said, were you helping him look for the golf ball? And he said, on which hole?
I'm telling you, it's like Shooter McGavin with the Happy Gilmore. I don't think they like it one bit that everybody's talking about Bryson all the
time.
But
I think if the course was, you know, concrete like it usually is,
like
when the ball's running, yeah. I think if that's when you go ahead and just say bombs away.
Well, maybe he'll try it again in April, and we'll see if the result is different. But it was an impressive 4 rounds out of DJ. Boy, I think if Rory didn't have that 75 on day one, he could have maybe made it a little interesting because he played a lot better as the weekend went by. But
that's the story of a million golfers. If
sure
I wouldn't
is.
Have done this,
you're right.
If, I
you're...
Wouldn't have, if Francisco Molinari wouldn't have put it in to drink on 12.
Yep.
If I wouldn't have done, that's the story that laments golfers for decades.
It's 4 rounds for a reason. 4 rounds for a reason.
Molinari's comments, that he said he's still not over that.
He said, I'm going to go get some pasta. Is that what he said? I can make that joke. Is that what he said, Merck? I'm going to go get a bowl of hot minestrone.
He said he's not over it. Like, he can't get past it. Can't get past it.
Boy, that sucks.
It haunts him at night, Carm. It haunts him at night.
Oh, my God.
Like the Queen's Gambit. She sees a chessboard up on the ceiling. This guy sees the 12th at Augusta up
so
on the
you
ceiling.
Watched it, Yurko?
Yeah, I did. I watched the first 2 episodes, kid.
Well, man. What did you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you're going to like it.
I enjoyed the story.
It gets really good here in the next couple as you get it. I finished it over the weekend. It's only 7 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife and I finished it Friday night. We had 1 episode left, and we watched it. And you're really going to like it the next couple.
Well, she got adopted by a beautiful home, too.
I'm telling you, man.
I don't know who the interior decorator for that thing was, but man alive.
Got to love a house in the 1960s, right?
Wow, patterns. Those are some patterns.
The carpet
right
everywhere, and the wallpaper, and the,
beautiful home.
It's something.
The lamps match the wallpaper.
It all matches. Yeah.
It's all ridiculous.
Yeah, but watch Queen's Gambit.
Reminds me to go get some tranquility pills.
Yes, you better.
Yeah.
Stack up on those tranquility pills while you can. Different time in the 60s, Yurko. Can you believe it?
Yeah, but you trust your doctors. Trust your science, Carm. Remember that.
All right, smartass. Take it easy.
Aren't they the ones that were producing the pills, Carm?
Well, it's not 1960 anymore.
Uh-huh.
I love it when the guy in the or I don't want to give too much away because I know people are probably just new to it. I love the line. The guy working at the orphanage, he goes, hey, apparently the state of Maryland says we can't give tranquilizers to kids anymore. Who knew? It's like, what? I mean, can you imagine? It's crazy. Yeah, everybody watch Queen's Gambit on Netflix. Yeah. It is really, really good. Mike's on the south side on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to list my list of Bears problems. I want to know what you guys think. I think the number one problem is team that Ryan Pace assembled. 2, I think it's Nagy's play calling. Thankfully, he's given it up. 3, the quarterback play. then a few spaces, then the offensive line. I just feel like more often than not in the NFL, average to bad offensive line win majority of the reps. You can actually see an example with Khalil Mack. He's been going against a lot of no-name offensive linemen, and he hasn't really made an impact. It's not a knock on Mack. It's just what it is across the league. For example, when the Bengals played the Titans, they were out all five
of
their offensive linemen.
All five.
And they put up 31 points. I just wanted to say if you guys agree with that list of the four Bears problems.
I would agree.
The assemblage of the team.
Yeah, that's a big problem. And this is the offense that he and Matt Nagy put together. Matt Nagy's supposed to be, you know, pulling the strings on this thing, and it stinks, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's not good.
So that they are the two biggest culprits, and they are the two biggest to blame. I can't disagree, really.
Well, yeah, I like his top two there. And if you're going to blame the offensive line, I'm with you, too. I like blaming the offensive line for not being able to block.
Yeah, well, that's a problem.
Hopefully we're going to see a better effort out of Jimmy Graham, too. That pathetic effort of blocking, and maybe he's just not good at it, and he never was. But, man, you could at least try. Not going out on a route, you're not going out on a pass route, and they're asking you to block, make an effort to block.
Throw the ball to Cole Kmet, too, please. I mean, please try to get him involved a little bit and see. You know, the times that you have thrown in the ball, the kids caught it. Kids made some plays for you. Try to get Cole Kmet involved. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bears Vikings tonight, Monday Night Football, and Yurko's got me thinking about a big thing of chili for tonight. And after all the chili talk,
I'm telling you, chili's good.
Yeah,
man.
It's good. It is, isn't it? And especially on a chili autumnal day, right?
I'm ready.
And could you believe the Bears kept everybody inside a week ago Sunday with that dreadful performance in Tennessee? It was like 7 degrees, and then yesterday they're off. You can't go anywhere. I mean, you couldn't even leave the house yesterday. It was so windy and miserable. Freaking Bears.
It was awful yesterday. Right. I don't know if you spent any time outside. I had to pick up garbage cans and such.
No, my what do you call it? The paw, the hoof. The cover for my grill blew off, and I saw Teddy Greenstein sent a funny tweet. He said, I judge Chicago wind on whether or not my grill cover flies away. And you do know, when I looked outside and I saw it like up against the garage, I'm thinking, boy, it's one of those days, man. It is nasty out there that it blew the grill cover off. So that was like the only time I went outside, and I ran to Walgreens for something real quick, and that was it. And other than that, I'm like, it was miserable outside yesterday. Kids were in pajamas all day. It's like, that's a pajama day, baby. Stay inside. Don't do nothing. Don't do nothing. Chris, real quick, in Arizona, speaking of chili. What's up, Chris?
Hey, boys. Long time, first time. I just got married last week in Mexico. You know,
congratulations.
Fortunately, to a Packers fan, so her family was full of jokes at the ceremony. So we really need a win tonight.
Yes.
So, you know, just throwing that out there. But you guys were talking about chili earlier. So I'm from Morrison, Illinois, originally, about 2 hours west of the city. So our hot lunches we used to get chili, you know, but we would have chili with a cinnamon roll.
With a cinnamon.
That was part of the hot lunch. And all of us guys still love it, but everybody thinks we're absolutely nuts. So, and you guys were talking about peanut butter and jelly getting dipped into chili, but we used to dip the cinnamon roll in. And I want to get your guys' take.
I guess I could see like the sweet and savory combination
chocolate bacon, man.
Yeah, you know? Like that to me, that makes a little bit more sense than the peanut butter's weird. I got to be honest. Like, under no circumstance in my mind can I think that peanut butter and chili is a good combination. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I could see the cinnamon roll a little bit more. The strangest thing I think I do that always gets people, but it's really not that weird. It's not peanut butter and jelly and chili, is I like to dip my fries in a chocolate shake, especially at Portillo's, because they've got the crinkle fries, Yurk, and they... Those ridges sort of hold the shake well. Like,
right.
I love that. Dipping my fries in my shake at Portillo's.
Boy, that's
or Bona Beef. Yeah, I know. But even that you can kind of see, right? You got a salty and a sweet thing kind of going on. Like, kind of makes sense. They balance each other out. That's probably the weirdest thing I do with food that sometimes freaks people out. But if they, but until you try it, I would tell you, don't knock it until you try it. So maybe I should be more open to peanut butter and jelly and chili. I don't know.
Maybe you ought to just try it one day, Carmen, see if people are right.
Seems odd. Boy, I got to tell you, it seems odd.
I like to cut. See, if I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich like that, if I was going to do that, I'd cut the edges off. I'd smash my bread, put the peanut butter jelly on, and then I'd roll it up and use it like a stick in there.
Yeah.
With it to eat it.
And I think
that might be a bad little idea, but you got to smash your bread, cut the edges off, put the peanut butter and jelly in between, roll it up, you know.
So
like it was a joint, Carm.
Like it's a big blunt. About? Yes, of course.
A big blunt, and you got a peanut butter and jelly blunt going into the chili.
Sounds okay to me.
I mean, just think about that.
Next time you're at Portillo's, try the fries in the shake. Mellow
fries in the shake?
Yeah,
I don't think
awesome.
I've ever done anything too weird like
so
that.
So good.
I used to put cheese popcorn in my clam chowder, my New England-style clam chowder.
That's weird.
Just to have something different going on.
Different texture, you know, a little different flavor. That's weird.
But you had to go at it right away to maintain the crunchiness of the popcorn. If you let it sit too long, then it just mushed up and became like an orange, you know.
Mellon, what were you going to say?
Speaking of weird combinations, this reminded me of one time I went to go see the U.S. men's national team play a soccer match. They played at the Iron Bowl in Alabama.
Yeah.
Went with a couple of buddies, my two best friends, Mark Drone and Kevin Cousy. We stopped at a Waffle House because we were in Alabama.
You're
so
in
why
Alabama,
not, right?
Yeah.
My buddy Kevin decided to get some hash browns with some jalapenos and some American cheese. This is how they do it at the Waffle House. This is my first time, so I was like, okay.
No eggs, just hash browns with jalapenos and American. Is it like a hash?
They do a whole bunch of weird things with their hash browns at the Waffle House. I didn't even know what I was getting into. But so he got that and he paired it with some chocolate milk. Which I thought jalapenos, I guess.
Yeah, chocolate milk and jalapeno.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
And a couple hours later, we're at the game, and he starts telling my buddy and me, you know,
My stomach hurts?
Yeah, my stomach's feeling weird. I don't know what's going on. Maybe I drank too much last night. That, or it was the jalapeno milk chocolate combination you went with at a Waffle House.
I think that could have probably been the combination that sunk him. Yeah.
So from this day, we always bust his balls about the fact that he thought it was a wise idea to pair those two together.
Is chicken and waffles even an odd combo anymore, or that's become such a trendy, hip I love chicken. That's one of my favorite things to eat in the world is chicken and waffles. Like, that's not weird anymore, though, right?
Remember the fancy restaurant in Miami we were at when we watched the Bulls play Miami and Nick Friedell ordered chicken and waffles at that beautiful restaurant?
Prime 112, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're like, what are you doing?
The best.
Where are you at? Come on, dude.
I love
Get some fancy waffles. Here. Well, it's not on your dime here, kid.
I love chicken. But it is good, though, man. Chicken and waffles is top freaking notch. All right, we're out. Bears win tonight. I'm picking Bears. Bears plus the 3. I'll take the Bears tonight. 24.
I got Bears 13-6 in the taffy pool.
You got a big time under tonight. All right, Meller and Howard Griffith have post game afterwards tonight. Greeny's next. Then it's Waddle and Sylvie. Then Black and Abdallah leading you into the game tonight. So we got lots of action coming your way. Bears and Vikings. We got a full recap mañana. Enjoy the game and have a great day, everybody. And we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks to Midway Jeff Meller, Randy Merkin, and J.R. Strauss. Have a great day.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
Well, I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!